I'm reading one verse for sake of time in Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 11. The Bible declares that there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The scripture is very clear on teaching us that when Solomon wrote Proverbs chapter 30, that there would be a generation come further down the line that would be like no other generation this country and this world has ever known. It would be a generation that would be set aside to see wrath, vengeance, cursing, and carnage like the world has never seen. I don't think within what we've seen the last week or so in our country, and even since the beginning of the year, I have to express to you that I feel like this is that generation. I want to preach today on that subject. Is this that generation that Solomon was talking about? Jesus talked about these days that would come ahead. You remember, Brother Snap, when Jesus was being led up to the bloody hillside to die on a cross. And the Bible said that the women followed him and they wept. And the Bible said, Brother Joe, that Jesus turned around in the midst of all of his suffering and pain and agony and looked at those women and said, weep not for me, but weep for your children. Jesus knew and was recounting the fact that there was a generation to come that would make their mothers and fathers weep like it never been known upon the face of this earth. I believe with all of my heart, this is that generation. For 40 years, I've traveled the face of this world, preaching over 16,000 times around the world. But never in the history of my 40-year ministry have I ever seen so many parents come to me with tears streaming down their face, weeping for their children. Even in this congregation today, with this multitude of people sitting here, you would be amazed at the parents that are sitting here today, brokenhearted, tore up, discouraged, and even feel like they've been abandoned and forsaken by their own children. Solomon said there would be a generation that would come up that did not even bless their mother and their father. As a matter of fact, instead of blessing them, Solomon said they would curse them. I'm going to show you from the Bible why I believe this is that generation that Jesus spoke about. Now, the points that I'm going to give you in my message, you can find throughout the pages of the Bible. You can find in days gone by where these things happened during different generations and dispensations with young people. But never before in history have all of these problems been bundled together and pushed into the hearts and the lives of one generation all at one time. That's why we are seeing news reports as we see them. That's why people are afraid to even leave their homes. It's amazing when the sun goes down, the honest people are locked in their houses like jails, and the criminals run free on the streets of our country. Isaiah said the day would come when good would be called evil, and evil would be called good. Truth will be falling in the streets, and God knows that's the day we're living in today. Is this that generation? Let me tell you a few reasons why I believe this is that generation coming on. Number one, because according to my text that I read to you today, they will be disrespectful to authority. Could you imagine children rising up and cursing their father and doth not bless their mother? In case you don't know it, that word curse there in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11 is so strong that the Greek lexicon does not even give the definition. The only other place in all the Bible where God uses that terminology that strong is in Genesis chapter number 12. When God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. That word curse means to be cut off. It means to be forsaken. It means to be left alone. In other words, God said, I'm not dealing or helping any nation that curses Israel. That's the same terminology found here. God said there'll be a generation come up that will cut their parents off. They will have nothing to do with their parents. I can't tell you the last week of my life that some parent hasn't come to me and said, pray for my children. They've gotten married. They won't have anything to do with me. Our daughter-in-law doesn't like us. Our son-in-law doesn't like us. Therefore, they won't have anything to do with us. They won't let us see our grandchildren. That's what God said would happen in the last days. And the Bible is clear that we are witnessing the results of a generation that has been raised without any discipline. I tell you why our kids don't respect us. We didn't teach them to respect us. I'll tell you something, brother. When I was coming up, you didn't call daddy old man. You didn't call mama old lady. No, sir. When you talked about God, you didn't talk about the old man upstairs. He was God. I'm living proof I never smarted back to my mom and dad. I wouldn't be here today. It was yes, sir, no, ma'am. My daddy never repeated himself to me more than one time. When daddy told me to do something, I knew, Brother Lenny, he meant for me to do it the first time he said it. And if he had to repeat it, he'd burn my butt up. We got kids now wanting to divorce their parents, spitting at their daddies, smacking their mamas. I was at a public place a couple years ago, and a boy about 10 or 11 years old was standing in line with his mother. And she said something to him, and he said, I don't want to. And she said, stand right here beside me. And that little pug-nosed punk kicked his mother. And she said to him, we made a deal. You don't hit me, and I don't hit you. I said to that lady, could I borrow him for 5 minutes? 5 minutes is all I'd need. I'd beat his butt till the smoke alarm went off. I guarantee when I got done with him, he'd smarted back his last time. He'd kicked his mother his last time. And he had slammed his last door. But I'm going to tell you why this generation's such a mess. You bunch of sorry parents have raised a bunch of heathens, and you wouldn't beat the devil out of them. And now they're out of control, and we don't know what to do with them. Amen, that's right. We've stopped being parents, and we wanted to be their buddies. You can't be a parent and be their buddy at the same time. You've got to do what's right. You've got to demand what's right. Whether they understand it or not, you've got to stand what's right. And as long as they're eating at your table, sleeping in your bed, and eating food off your table, you've got a right to demand what's going to go on and not go on in your house. Disrespect to authority. I'm ashamed to report to you that yesterday on the campus of the University of Tennessee, they had parades of hundreds of young people screaming and cussing and telling the police to get off the campus. That happened in the University of this state. Shame on the University of Tennessee. Shame on the president of that university that would let such nonsense go on. You know why I'd say to them bunch of baby booming brats, I'd pull every police off that campus, let them bunch of idiots go crazy, and when they called 911, I'd hang up on them and say, remember, you threw us off campus, you handle your own situations. Now, some of you I can tell don't like it. You can bless God, hit that door for all I care. I'm telling you, this country's out of control, and somebody ought to be raising hell about it. Disrespect to authority. I'm convinced this is that generation. Number two, when a generation deserts their heritage, I believe it's that generation. You remember over in the book of Judges, chapter 8, Gideon was a great hero of war. Remember how he took 300 men and defeated the five countries of the Midianites and all of those anti-God nations. And Gideon did that with 300 men. And man, he was a patriarch for Israel. He was a soldier. He was a colonel. Brother Adams, he was revered as a military leader. But in Judges chapter number 8, he's got his oldest son, Jether, with him. And he has hemmed up a couple of those anti-God kings in a cave. And he pulls his sword and he gives it to his older son and said, son, if you're going to preserve a nation, if we're going to have God in our country, we got to be willing to fight for our country. And he gave his sword to his son, Jether. And the Bible said that Jether would not slay the enemy. And Israel went into a mess, and Gideon got so discouraged, he started worshiping an ephod and went off into paganism. And Israel became a mess. You know why? Because the next generation didn't think they had a nation worth fighting for. I thank God for every veteran we have in our auditorium. Every man and every woman that's ever defended this country. But I say to you, there's something wrong with this next generation. They don't believe America's worth fighting for anymore. They've been so filled up with socialism and humanism and communism in the public school system, they would refuse to fight for the freedoms of our nation. We are letting the values and the principles of our country deteriorate before our very eyes. I say to every boy and girl in this country, you hear me well. If this country goes to war, you remember this. If America's worth living in, bless God, she's worth fighting for. And if she's not worth fighting for, you ought to get your tail out of here and go live somewhere else. I believe this is that generation because they've deserted our heritage. I have no respect for anybody that would burn our flag, urinate on our flag. It's a crying out loud shame that such disrespect is being shown publicly in our country. A nation disrespected to itself is a nation that's ordained to fail. May I remind you, this country wasn't built by a bunch of draft dodgers like Bill Clinton. This country wasn't built by a bunch of lesbians and a bunch of God deniers. It was built by red-blooded Americans that believed America was the greatest country in the world. And she was worth dying for. I salute the Mays family here today. I thank God that a teenage boy raised in this church is now a Marine of the United States of America, defending the freedoms and the rights of this land. I say thank God for the Mays family. Four of my uncles laid on the front lines in Germany during the depths of winter to fight for our country in World War II. Four of them. And four brothers laid out there. And when they dropped off my 17-year-old uncle named Sherman, he looked in his backpack and said, Sergeant, there's a problem. There's only 3 days of rations in my backpack. He said, Sherman, you won't live to eat them. Go fight. And my 17-year-old uncle that had never been off a farm in North Mississippi, laid in snow, chest deep in Germany, in summer shoes. Brother Adams, the military promised them winter boots, and they never came. And they got, their feet froze, and they had to cut the boots off with scissors and knives, and their feet were black. And they stood in the snow, barefooted, and shot the enemy. That's what builds a country, not a bunch of idiots on a ball field. It's those on the battlefield that builds a country. My uncle scared to death laying in the snow, listening to men cry for their mamas at night. Said we got up one morning to fight the enemy and all of our machine guns were froze up from the icy snow. And he said, Phil, I know this sounds crazy and impossible, but we took turns urinating on those M16 machine guns to free up the artillery long enough and warm it up so it would zip through the barrel of that gun so we could shoot the enemy. Urinating on the guns to trying to get them to work. He said, we pulled soldiers out of snow that were froze so stiff we could hold them by their ankles and they would stick straight out. Froze solid. And he said, I laid over there as a teenage boy and didn't have decent food. I'm laying there in summer clothes. Our winter clothes never came. We were starved to death and we were froze to death and we were scared and we wanted to go home. But we knew one thing. That flag flying over us meant more to us than anything any other country could ever offer us. And we were willing to die for America. I want our young people to know that's what built this country. And you poor men and women that fought in Vietnam, 58,000 of our men and women come home in plastic bags, and they called you baby killers and they spit on you and our companies wouldn't hire you. We owe you an apology. You're an American hero. You did what you were supposed to do. Job well done. Job well done. I believe this is that generation. Because of disrespect and because they desert their heritage. Number three, I believe this is that generation because they dishonor life. You see, way back in Genesis 4, you have two brothers. And Cain is battling with his brother Abel. And the Bible said that Cain rose up out in the field and slew his brother. You know, I thought about this the other day, Brother Collins. Abel raised sheep. It was Cain that raised what come out of the field. You know what that shows me, Brother Austin? That shows me that Abel went to where his brother was to try to reconcile with him. Abel was going to try to get things right with his brother. And in spite of the fact that he was trying to work things out and get things right between them, his brother rose up and slew him out in the field. We've always had people that disrespected their parents, but not as a whole generation. We've always had people that deserted their heritage, but not as a whole in a generation. We've always had people that dishonored life, but never a whole generation at one time. It seemed like Abel's life meant nothing to Cain, and he slew him. I'm going to tell you why these school shootings are going on. And by the way, people that are doing it now aren't even crying about it. We have lost value on human life. I'm not an animal person, but I do believe if you have one, you ought to take care of it. You ought to feed it. You ought to make sure it's healthy. You ought to make sure it's warm. And I have no respect for you if you don't. There's nothing spiritual or Christian about starving your dog, leaving them out in the cold, and not taking care of your cats and animals. There's something sick with you. And we've started with that, and now we've got to the point where there's no value on human life anymore. We have psychologically trained our children that life is not important, and it's not really that grand as it used to be. How have we presented that to them? I'll tell you how we present it. By the time you get out of bed Monday morning, till the time you go to bed Monday night, this country, with our tax dollars, will slaughter 4,000 babies out of the wombs of their mother. That happens every day in the United States of America. When you raise a generation with a philosophy that life is not life until it's born, that it's nothing but an embryo inside a woman, you have taken the value and the sanctity of life. Life is at conception. God gives life at conception. And anybody that deters that life is a murderer in the sight of God, and they'll meet God as a murderer. Now, I can tell by looking at some of you, ain't coming back, but I'm going to give you everything you can handle before you leave here today. Don't go to the bathrooms, they're broke, and don't go to the parking lot, the driveways are blocked. But I'm telling you, we have messed up, taken away the sanctity of life. The average television show, it's murder, it's killing. How to kill your wife and get by with it. How to kill your husband and make $1 million. How to kill your parents. Every time you turn the television on, somebody's got a knife, somebody's got a gun, somebody's killing somebody. It's another crime scene. It's another death. Death in the street. You all know I'm telling it right. And you infiltrate your mind every day with that bunch of filth and trash and rot. And you wonder why we got a generation that thinks nothing about blood, guts, and murder. It's because they've watched it 50,000 times a year on television, and they've been trained that this is just the way life is. You parents ought to be censoring what your kids are watching on their television. You ought to be censoring what's going on their telephone. I don't know why any parent would get the internet service for their teenage kid and put it on their phone when they can go anywhere, anytime, and deal with anybody, no matter how wicked, dirty, filthy, and perverted it is. I don't understand you parents why you do that. There needs to be some accountability of what's feeding the minds of our children. These video games, the only two muscles most boys have now is their thumbs. All they've ever done, bless God, is sit in front of a screen. Matter of fact, some of you boys have played video games so much, your face is square like a monitor, bless God Almighty. That's all you've ever done. Yeah. Some of you were clapping, now you're pouting. Hard day's work would kill the average young boy in this church. You don't even know what a hard day's work is anymore. Sitting around fooling with these nasty video games day and night. Can you believe there's grown people that are so hooked on video games that they'll wet their pants and mess in their pants because they don't want to put the controller down to go to the bathroom? Now, you talk about a psychological idiot. Let me tell you something, Jack. If you're that hooked that you can't even go to the potty, you need to see a psychiatrist. You are one sick puppy! You're an idiot! And all these video games, nothing but a bunch of shooting and killing and mass murder. We have trained the minds of our children, and now we've got a generation that thinks nothing about taking the life of somebody else. Number four, quickly. I believe this generation is that generation because they'll desecrate holy things. Now, there's always been people that's done that, but never whole as a generation. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the reason why God cut Eli and his descendants off forever. Eli was the priest. He had two sons. And he was left in Hophni and Phinehas, which was his sons, the assistant pastors of the church. He was letting them steal the meat that was to be offered up as an offering to Israel. I don't have any confidence in a pastor that will allow his assistants to do stuff that's immoral, unethical, and not transparent. Now, I have staff here. Brother Anderson's staff. We're transparent. We're going to stay that way. And the day you're not, you're fired. I'm not putting up with that. We're not slipping nothing under the table here. Everything's going to be above board. You're going to live as clean as I am. You're going to live as dedicated as I do. Or you're going to be looking for a job. Because I'm not letting anything go on behind me that I wouldn't let go on in front of me. I'm not doing it. And Brother Anderson ought to have that same conviction about me. If he see me sliding and doing stuff that's unethical, he ought to report me to the trustees and the Constitution Board of this church. And I need to be addressed, and I need to be reprimanded, or I need to be fired. Transparency is a good thing. And the only people that don't like transparencies are crooks, whoremongers, thieves, and perverts. And Eli was letting his son steal the offering out of the tabernacle of God. Can you imagine every day in the United States of America, churches are broken into just to get change, drugs, and PA systems? I remember when my daddy told me when he was a boy, nobody even locked the church. People could go pray 24/7. My daddy said growing up, there was no such thing as a lock on a church. Matter of fact, they preached against locking a church because people should be able to seek the Lord anytime they want to. You leave a church unlocked now. When you come back, they'll steal the toilets, they'll steal the pews, they'll steal the toilet paper, they'll steal the PA, they'll take the screens, they'll take everything you've got. See, we've got a whole generation that has no respect for the holy things of God anymore. I'm so dogmatic about God, there may be things I do at home or out in public that are not wrong, but still I'd be uncomfortable doing them here. You may dress in a way at home that's none of my business, but you ought to have more respect for the house of God than to come here looking like you just spent the weekend at Six Flags. Now, I don't care how visitors look when they come. I don't care. They don't know any better. I'm talking about people that know better. There ought to be some sensitivity about you that this is a holy place. This place is set aside. This ain't a place for teenagers to hold hands and suck on each other's neck and act like this is a dating hall. That's not happening here. This is the house of God. If you got to get some sugar and you can't keep your hands off each other, get your tail out of here because you're not going to do it here. We got security around here, and one of their reasons for being here is to throw you out of here if you start this nonsense. This ain't a dating hall. It's a church house. God has been thrown out of our schools. No respect for any buildings anymore. They spray paint the walls of our churches and burn them to the ground. Their conscience is seared. It's been twisted against God. I'm going to say something a little stout here, and I'm about out of time, and most of you are ready to get out of here anyhow. Should have took the offering before I preached today, because some of you look like you wouldn't give a dime to see an ant eat a bale of hay right now. But I'm going to tell you something. When ABC or any other television station, any television station, puts a category of women on public television and calls our vice president insane because he talks to God and God talks to him, I don't care how liberal it is, that station ought to throw them bunch of witches off television. They have no right. They have no right. They have no right. Amen. It's a funny thing to me. Everybody wants toleration until it comes to being conservative. Everybody wants toleration until you're anti-abortion. Everybody wants toleration until you say you're a Christian. Let me tell you something. I'd rather have my president say he's talking to God than talking to a liberal, than talking to Lucifer, than talking to Satan, than talking to a Muslim, than talking to Allah. I'm glad we got a vice president that's not ashamed to say, I talk to God. I believe this is that generation because they'll denounce moral boundaries. Oh, it's happened before in 2 Samuel 13. It was Amnon that raped his sister Tamar. But it's never been as it is now collectively as a generation. They have found out that all these mass killers have one common thread. They were all hooked on pornography and perversion. Rape is on the rise as now men consider women nothing more than sex objects and subhuman. The fastest growing pornography in the world today is called snuff pornography. It's little girls between the ages of 4 and 11 being raped and then being killed. Lustful desires are out of control and it's released the unlimited depths of human depravity. Women are fearful to even sit out in their backyards and relax anymore. Afraid of being videoed, taped, or even a stinking drone coming over their backyard. I want to say to everybody, listen to me today. You send your little Walmart drone over my backyard, I'm going to shoot the sucker. I'm going to shoot your drone. And if you come over fooling me, I'll take care of you too. Number 7, and I'm done. I believe with all of my heart. You see how all this is coming to one generation? Here's the last one, and I'm closing. Demon activity. You remember in Mark 9, a man brought his son to Jesus, and he was a teenager. And he's throwing himself in the fire, and he's foaming at the mouth, and he's trying to kill himself, and throwing himself in water, and he's belching up this stuff. And the father said, he's got a demon in him. Now watch this, Brother Smith. And Jesus said, how long has he had this demon? And the father said, ever since he was a child. Just like the Holy Spirit can overtake a child that's been saved, demonic spirits can overtake children that have submitted themselves to that which is unclean. The latest killer that was just arrested confessed the reason why he killed all of those people in that public school. I'm quoting him, demons told me to do it. Now let me tell you what I believe in closing. I believe the deepest, darkest demonic spirits that have ever been in existence have been bound in chains of darkness. And Paul and Timothy said they would be there until the last day. And in that last day, those most depraved, vile spirits will be let out of that pit upon the face of the earth to inhabit the minds and hearts of people that hate God. I believe what we are seeing is more than even depraved man can think of. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing is demonic. Now let me tell you what I'd do if I were you. If I didn't know Jesus as my Savior, if I didn't know my name was recorded in God's Lamb's Book of Life, I would get out of my seat today and I wouldn't leave this auditorium till I made sure I wasn't of this generation, but I was of that generation. Let's give Jesus a hand and tell him we love him.